It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
All right, welcome Fairbanks. This is Craig Compo with the Compo Outdoor Show. We do this show every Saturday at 12:30. Pre-recorded, but we are on the air every Saturday at 12:30 talking about all things outdoors, whether it be boats, motors, snow machines, hiking, exploring, mining. We try to touch everything to do with the reason we live here. It's the reason I live here. I'm more of a river rat. I like, we have a nice place at Harding Lake, which I like to go out to during the week. But on the weekends, I'm one of these people that just likes to get away from everybody. When you work around the public all week, it's great, but you need a break. You need a mental break. And there's nothing like getting out on the open water, getting up the river, you know, 50, 100 miles up the river, getting away. And it's very therapeutic. So that's my recreation of choice is river boating. I come from a long list of family members that have done that, from my grandpa back in the 40s, my dad, who was very instrumental in addicting me to river use and getting up the river, hunting and fishing and working and building cabins and just enjoying the outdoors. But we're going to switch gears a little bit today from boats. We talked last week, we talked all about looking for a good used jet boat, what to look for, what to avoid, which can cost you a ton of money. And today we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to talk more off-road stuff, more like ATVs, side-by-sides, UTVs, utility vehicles. Just kind of want to go over some things that if you're looking for a used one, what to look for and what to avoid. We're trying to save you a little bit of money, give you some good things you might not be thinking about. Usually when you're looking at buying an ATV, you're kind of fired up, excited to get it, and you need to slow that process down a little bit and make sure you're not going to spend a bunch of time working on it rather than enjoying it out in the woods. So there is a lot to look at on an ATV. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. Obviously you got the engine, which is key. You've got the wheels and bearings and tie rods and CV boots and trannies and, you know, all the typical parts, which are subject to a little more abuse than an automobile. Obviously, automobile, you're typically on flat roads, you're cruising on hard tires, and you're not going over stumps and sticks and through, you know, riverbeds and up and over stumps. Well, if you are, then you've got other issues. But we want to talk about buying a used ATV. The market right now is really, really tight getting inventory. So it's really put the demand on the used product out there. People that just don't use their rig will sell them. But there's a lot of people that you might only drive it once or twice a year, but you want to have it available. And so they're not for sale. And they may have super low miles, and they could fetch a pretty penny for them, because low miles on an ATV is a huge selling feature. And you want to make sure that when you're out shopping for a used HVV, you know, look for one with low miles. But even if it's got higher miles, but it's been really well maintained, that's okay. It's probably still got a lot of life in it. So there's things we're going to talk about today, things to look for, things that could save you a bunch of money or cost you a bunch of money. And so before you run out and spend your hard-earned money on a pre-owned rig, you do want to slow down a little bit and consider the purchase. You know, we get people that come in, we get lots of questions about what to look for. And then, of course, you see the nightmare scenarios where somebody, you know, dumped a bunch of money in a used ATV only to find out the motor's bad, or it needs a new diff or a driveline or, you know, there's just frame damage or something. Because, like I said, they're subject to a lot of abuse. They're out in a rugged country, especially in Alaska. People tumble them, you know, they tip them over. They run them, you know, too fast through bad country. And so there's a lot of things that can cause damage to an ATV. And we want to help you kind of find that good ATV. And you know, obviously, if you can find a friend or relative that's got one that wants to sell, where you know the history, that's the best. Otherwise, you know, you can look online. You know, you can look at Craigslist or Marketplace, and you know, you can start searching around, see what they're going for, or at least what people are asking. Check out the mileage. Check out the you want to get a popular model. You know, there's many manufacturers have been around for a long time. There's, you know, of course, Honda, Polaris, Can-Am, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki. Those are all name brands. They've been around for a while, you know, and so the parts are available and things like that. You don't want to, there's ones you want to avoid. There's a bunch of made overseas. You got to be careful there. There's better ones. There's good and bad ones, but you want to know that you can get parts for them. You want to know you can get service for them. I always kind of chuckle when I go into the big box stores and see these dirt cheap side-by-sides and four-wheelers. And I always, there's a company that makes coolers. You all know who they are. They also make ATVs. And I always tell people, you think about the hinges on your cooler. If that's the quality that you want, where those hinges last about a year or two at the best, and then they snap, those plastic hinges, that's the same company building that side-by-side you're going way out in the woods with. So I tell people, if you're going to buy one of those aftermarket or overseas side-by-sides, make sure you buy a really good pair of hiking boots, because you may need to walk out of the woods. So anyway, a name brand is important. There's a lot of good companies out there, and strong companies with good products and parts. So if you're shopping, you want to kind of flush out any deceptive sellers. You know, you want to ask them why they're selling it. You know, they usually say, well, I outgrew it, or I just don't use it anymore, I need the money. Those are all good reasons. You know, you never know if they're being straight with you or not. But I can guarantee you, you'll never hear an owner say he's selling it because I've worn it out and I need something dependable. You're not going to hear that. So make sure that you do your homework and check it out. And you want to make sure that, you're dealing with a straight shooter. Because if he's going to be deceptive about one thing, it's probably a lot of stuff wrong with that rig. So a lot of people can read people pretty well. I can, and a lot of people can. So you want to make sure you know, you're getting a straight scoop. First thing, just like on a boat we talked about last week, check the engine oil. Most of these rigs are four strokes anymore, so they all have a dipstick. And a dirty engine oil isn't necessarily a deal breaker, but it is a concern, and it should be. You know, when your oil breaks down and starts to lose its lubricity and cooling properties, the metal parts will begin to wear out quickly. So you want to pull the dipstick and see what you're buying. If you've got really clean engine oil in a machine, that can also set off alarms, because it could have just flushed it right before it. You know, it's kind of a gamble either way, but it's worth looking at. If the oil is black, again, not the end of the world, but means it needs to be changed. If the oil is brownish, kind of a brownish gold color, that's usually means it's been recently changed. If it's milkshaky, like it's got water in it, we talked about this about boats last week, that's something you probably want to run the other way. That means that it's getting water in it, and that isn't where the water belongs. You should never have water on a dipstick. You should never have that milkshake in the dipstick. You want to check it out yourself. And then, of course, most of these engines are all liquid cooled, so they've got glycol antifreeze in them, just like your car. So you want to check the condition of the coolant. You know, make sure the engine is cool before you take the radiator cap off. It can scar you up pretty good if you don't, and be under pressure and, you know, cause some severe burn. So you want to make sure that the coolant level is good. They do make a hydrometer where you can test the level of how cold or how hot or how cold is good too. And since the radiator is subject to debris that's thrown up off the trail, you want to expect it for damages. The radiator is key. They can get plugged in the mud. So you want to power hose those on a regular basis, because that's going to limit your cooling ability, which can cook a motor. It's probably the number one reason people cook a motor, is they just plug the cooling ability motor and they just keep running it. And you need to do this because the engine, if the engine's been overheated, you don't always see the damage, but it can show up shortly after you buy it. So you want to make sure, usually the coolant is a green or orange color, not always, sometimes they're pink, but unless they've used an aftermarket coolant. any oily look or particles in the coolant is a warning of problems. And of course, the coolant acts as a lubricant also. And if you're just replacing it with tap water, there's more likely to be corrosion inside the motor. So a good owner will flush that, replace the coolant, you know, at least once a year, or every other year, depending on their miles. So those things are important. Coolant and oil, key engine things to check. We get down to the drive line. The ATVs and side-by-side axles, they all take a beating, and they wear. And if you're using the stock suspension setting, you'll get wear. But if you ever put a lift kit on a machine, a lot of people put a lift kit which elevates it up so you get more ground clearance. You'll actually get faster wear because everything is it's lifted. They, you know, if they don't have the stock, unless they replace the stock axles with extreme angled axles, you know, they make components specifically for lifted machines. But a lot of people just put the lift kit on there and they don't do anything else. The stock axle travels with the suspension, and then it's designed only to drop down to that stock travel length. So when you lift a machine, the stock axle can't drop far down enough during travel, and then you get premature wear. The other thing that does, it puts tremendous stress on the bearings of the CV joints. So you want to check those on a machine. Get underneath. There's boots, the rubber boots, the little they almost look like an accordion boot. Inspect the boots on each axle of the ATV, both against the differential gearbox and the outside of the next wheel. You want to make sure you don't have any busted CV boots, because that invites bad stuff from the trail that can be devastating. If you hear any, when you drive it, and drive it slow to start out, and listen carefully. If you hear any crunching or grinding in the drive line, that should be immediately noted, and a good time to maybe head to your truck and leave if the guy told you the thing was perfect. Because there's a good example, you know, torn boots, that's going to cost money. Tires, if you're looking for a used ATV, you probably mentally set yourself a budget. So let's say you've got, you know, $5,000 in your brain for a budget. Then you find out a rig you really like, but the tires have got no tread left, they're dry cracked. You know, that's going to really affect what you just had in your budget, because you know you can spend several hundred dollars on a set of tires, you know, $500, $600, $700, $800 on a new set of tires, and also get an indication the machine's got maybe more miles on it than, you know, if the speedometer's broke and the tires are worn out. It's a good idea to scratch your head there a little bit and get a clue. So, and of course you want to check the frame. It might seem like a long shot, but Some owners who own ATVs and UTVs may have crashed them at one time or another. So look close at the frame of the machine. You know, bent steel or paint broken off the steel, like where something was kinked that's not supposed to be. It's usually going to be found around the shock towers or where the shock's attached to the frame. That's usually what takes the brunt of the impact. You want to search underneath the machine for any slams to the belly, like where it landed on a boulder. You know, get the rig on a level surface and look at it from the front and back. Is it sitting crooked? Does it lean from left to right or forward back? A busted shock will cause that. Leaky shocks will have oil leaking out of usually the top of them. So you want to wipe your finger on there and make sure there's no fresh oil there. And then overall appearance matters. You know, you want to look at it overall. You can tell if it's a car. I don't care if it's a car, if it's a motorcycle, anything, you can tell. The average person can tell pretty well if something's in pretty good shape. You know, I always tell people, if they're calling me and they want to trade something in, I say, well, first of all, rate it 1 to 10. You know, and that's always they kind of mentally have to do that, because when they bring it down, if they say it's a 10 and it's a 6, I don't do that math. That math doesn't work for me, and it wouldn't work for a resale situation. But anyway, we'll get into more of this. We're at the Compo. This is the Compo Outdoor Show, talking ATVs, buying a good used ATV, and problems to avoid. We'll be right back.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. This is Craig Compo with the Compo Outdoor Show, and we are talking about buying a used ATV today, what to avoid. Incidentally, we do sell used ATVs as well as new ones at the shop. Right now, we're just about pre-sold on everything coming in. It's really tough. You can check. We occasionally get a cancellation. But what we're doing anymore, and most of the dealers are doing, is we order ATVs once a month, and they're for 60 days out, 45 to 60 days out. So every month, you know, in June, we're ordering for August and so forth. And we don't always have a choice of which models are available, so we buy what sells up here. We sell a lot of six-wheelers. We sell a lot of 570 and 650 and 850 four-wheelers, not as many 450s, although there's, you know, for people that don't need a lot of horsepower, those are a great rig. We actually have a really good price on a batch of those coming in, I think, in September. And then we the side-by-sides the same way. We sell the side-by-sides, and six-wheel side-by-sides are real popular up here because they go anywhere. But we also sell used. We sell good used four-wheelers. Don't have much for inventory right now, but they're usually, I tell everybody, come in, tell us what size you want, give us some parameters, and get on our wish list, and as soon as one comes in on trade, we call you. Otherwise, literally, they're gone in 24 hours. So we put them through the shop, make sure they're good, so it's way safer than just buying out on the open market. Anyway, speaking of open market, we were talking about buying these used ATVs and what to look for. We'll touch on some of the stuff in a little more detail in the back half of the hour here, or half hour. We'll talk with tires, you know. Flashlight, get your flat. Little mag lights are great for a lot of things. We talked about it last week with looking in the impeller of a jet boat. But you want to look close at the tires too, and you don't want to inspect one of these things at night. You always want to look during the day. You want to shine the flashlight around each tread block and on both sidewalls and look for cracks or missing chunks of rubber. We talked about this before the break, that that can cost you $700-$800 for a good set of tires. So you want to make sure that you're inspecting the tires that are on it, make sure they've got good life in them. Sometimes if they're the original tires and the thing's got 4,000 or 5,000 miles on them, those tires are flat worn out. So you want to check the tread, and it also depends where they're running it. If people run a lot on gravel roads instead of out in the moss and soft grass, they're going to wear many times faster. And they age and crack just like car tires. You know, once the crack develops, they're actually dangerous to ride on. You know, if a tire is cracked and has the same wear as the others, you know, plan on replacing the complete set. You don't want to change one tire or two tires. You really want to change a set. But like I said, you can spend $500, $600, $700 depending on the lug and the tire you, you get. Real easy test, if you've got a just any sort of a jack, a floor jack, is to check the bearings and the ball joints. It's real simple to do. You just want to jack up one side of the vehicle and grab the tire. I tell people grab it at noon and 5 o'clock. Put your hand on the top of the tire when it's off the ground and over at 5 o'clock. Then rock the tire in and out. If you feel play, you really shouldn't feel play there, except for just maybe a very, very minor amount. If you feel any play there, you're probably looking at a bad wheel bearing or a bad ball joint or both. Severely worn bearings and ball joints that can separate in use and actually cause an injury. So you don't want to tumble off your four-wheeler. So before they let go, you'd notice it would be sloppy and unstable in a turn. That's usually an indication that you've got, without lifting it up, you can tell just driving it. Now, if one side is worn, chances are the other side's worn, unless somebody's replaced just one side. And typically they're changed at the same time. Ball joints, $150, $250 bucks installed and wheel bearings run about the same. So again, there's several hundred dollars between tires and ball joints. You could spend well over a grand, easy, maybe $1,200, $1,400 on a four wheeler that you just paid $6,000 for that you thought was worth $6,000. Turns out it was worth, $4,000, and all of a sudden you've just put $2,000 into it. So you want to check those things out, and you want to inspect the shocks. We talked a little bit about that, but you want to look for moist areas around the top of the shock. That's typically you can run your finger over that area, and if it's oily, the shock's on its way out. That means it's leaking oil, and you're going to lose your ride quality. You're going to introduce some safety issues. You're going to break down on the trail. Worn shocks don't dampen the spring oscillation, so your tires spend more time in the air after each bounce, and that'll dramatically reduce the machine stability. But leakage, bottom line, leakage is a sure sign of wear. And, shocks are 150, 200. They go up from there if you get the real fancy ones. So you definitely want to check your shocks. We talked a little bit about the CV boots. Those are, right on the inside of the wheel. The CV boots is what keeps the grease inside on those rotating parts, keeps the debris out of there. And when a boot wears, it tears open kind of between the pleats. There's little pleats in there. And first glance, you're not going to see that stuff. So get under there with your fingers and your thumbs and open those little pleats up. Or at the band clamps. There's little clamps that hold them on. They can tear right there because there's a lot of pressure on that area. You want to look for any tears in the CV boots. And it's a little inconvenient, but it's really, really a big money saver if you can change them before the damage is done. Because it'll fling the grease out of the joint. It lets water and sand in, and the joints are gone. Boots, again, $150 bucks installed, maybe $200 bucks depending on the model. You find sand and dirt in there, it's most likely the parts are damaged and they need to be replaced. The joints themselves are more. They're like, $250, $300 bucks for a CV joint depending on the model. So lots of potential costs there. You want to check all that out. You want to check the engine for oil leaks. That seems real obvious, but just, oil leaks from the valve cover area can cost $150, $300 bucks. You want to wipe a clean rag around the head of the valve cover gaskets. If you show fresh oil there, then you got problems. Always pull the air cleaner cover. That's one of the things when somebody goes to, they polish the machine, get it all cleaned up for sale, but they're just trying to make it look pretty. Pull the air cleaner cover. If it's packed with stuff, you know what's going on. Replacing the air filter is cheap. But if you don't do it, you see large amounts of dirt. That dirt's made itself, it can only hold so much. It's probably got into the motor. If there's signs of mice or rodents, walk away from that purchase because they can chew on wiring harnesses and everything else. They usually get in near the airbox. Brakes are really important. You want to check the pad condition, the thickness of the pads. You want to check the rotors for deep gouges. Look for caliper leaks. Now, this involves taking the tires off, and some you may or may not be able to do that, but that's something you want to do. Even after you've bought it, if everything appears good, they're not hard things to do with basic tools and a floor jack. You can check the brake, with a flashlight, you can check the thickness of the brake pads. New pads usually about a quarter inch thick. Used pads still has more than the minimum of about a 16th of an inch. Since the rotors are so expensive, it's never good to let them wear down. The rotors are a lot of money, so you want to avoid metal to metal contact. So those are some of the things that are the basic stuff. The other things on an ATV, you always want to check the fluids. We talked about that. Pull the dipstick. Look for any metallic particles in the oil. That's a real no-no. Water or metal on the end of your dipstick or on the oil. You know, get a good clean rag, even a Kleenex. When you wipe that dipstick off, look at it. If you see a bunch of shiny metal, that's not good. That didn't come out of the oil can. That came out of the engine. Could be a sign of bad things to come. And again, these four-wheelers, you can go way out in the woods, and it's a long walk back. Some of the rigs have a chain and sprocket. You want to make sure you replace the chain and sprocket if it looks bad. There, you know, it could be $300 to $500 in parts and labor there. You don't want a chain snapping. Everything gets fatigued. But most of the newer ones, you know, are either belt drive or direct drive. And then there's the accessories on the rigs that we didn't talk about. You know, I'd say 80% of the four-wheelers in Fairbanks have a winch. So you want to, you know, have somebody grab the winch hook and let the switch, somebody run the switch and let it out and let it back in, make sure it's working good and free and not bound up. I'm a big fan of synthetic rope instead of cable on the winch. Number one, it doesn't cut your hand when you grab it. It doesn't have the little sharp edges on it, but they're stronger, less likely to bind. That synthetic rope is incredibly strong. They're a little expensive. I think you're going to pay $100 or more for a synthetic rope for a four-wheeler, but I think it's worth every penny just because the problems you'll avoid going down the road. Of course, a lot of these machines in Fairbanks have hot grips and thumb warmers like a snow machine because people plow snow with them. So fire the rig up, drive it long enough to make sure those get warm. Check your lights, make sure all the bulbs are good. After about 2012, most machines had power steering. You can tell right away if that's working because you can drive the machine easily with one hand with power steering in tight corners and everything else. 99% of the machines we sell now have power steering. They still make them without it, but they're not. That's the ones we have left over at the end of the year, typically, is the non-power steering models. And then the all-wheel drive systems. You want to make sure that's working. You know, you can put it up against a telephone pole or a cut bank or something and give it power. You want to make sure all the wheels are turning. A lot of the systems, like our Can-Ams, have Visco lock, which is really cool. It engages automatically. There's no diff lock switch. There's no lever. You don't have to back up to engage. It just senses a lack of traction and engages the system. It's actually a speed sensing front differential, not a typical type diff. So those are the kind of things you want to check out. Again, you can always give us a call at Compos. We're happy to answer any questions you'd have on buying a good used one. Check our website, compos.com. Like I said, we have them there. We also have some that we don't list out back. If they're over 10 years or older, we don't advertise them. We do have some for sale, but we don't always advertise them on our website. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just they're older models, different brands. So sometimes we'll take different brands. We can take a four-wheeler on trade for a boat, for example. And, you know, when we get time, we'll go through it and then we'll sell it. So those are some things you can look for. I hope that was helpful information. You want to be safe out there in your four-wheelers. There's been some stories lately, some people that were doing crazy stuff and got hurt, killed, and so we want to avoid that. These things are really safe if you drive them smart and proper and you don't put too many people on them or do stupid stuff. So be safe out there, Fairbanks. I hope that helped with your looking for a new four-wheeler, a good used four-wheeler. Have any questions? Give us a call at Compos at 479-2271. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, 10 to 4 on Saturday. And this is Craig at Compos with the Outdoor Show.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.